The Miami Heat are up 5 going into the fourth quarter. I think that'll be enough. It's 74-69. I mean, we have clearly started to alert the NFL fans. It's NFL season all season, every season, all year long. We're starting to get calls on the NFL draft. We'll get to them. I was planning on doing more of that tomorrow with it being a week before the draft and me having another 5-hour show. But like I said, I'm ready to talk NFL whenever, with whoever. I don't think the Giants should draft another offensive tackle or another O-lineman. Done that enough in your recent history. Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton's about to hold out? Okay, draft a explosive playmaker to take his place. Oh, yeah, you lost Saquon Barkley, your only offensive explosive playmaker. Man, draft Malik Nabers, or if you can trade up and get Marvin Harrison, go get one of those guys, right? Man, I saw some terrible stats on Daniel Jones. I got to go back. It was like Warren Sharp Football was putting out, they were in my notes from over the weekend about Daniel Jones. It actually, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. It actually made me change some of my opinion on Daniel Jones, where a lot of times I try to defend Daniel Jones and say, ah, you know, it's the offensive line or lack of playmakers. Let's see. They had a first quarter touchdown scored the last 3 years. And, man, the Giants were near the bottom of that. I think they were 8 out of all. I don't know. I got to get the numbers correct. They were at the bottom, though. It wasn't 8 out of all 32 NFL teams. But there were some other stats that they retweeted. I think there's this account, New York Giants Daily, talking about Daniel Jones. It was bad. Said the easiest time to pass the ball is on first down. Daniel Jones ranked number 48 out of 48 quarterbacks on first down efficiency, minimum 100 attempts in 2023. Just 30% of his attempts were successful. The NFL average is 46%. A lot of it was sacks, okay, but even if you remove sacks, he ranked 47 out of 48 quarterbacks. Gross. Their words, not mine, but agreed. Even removing sacks, he was pressured at a high rate. Okay, but even if you remove attempts under pressure, he ranked 47 out of 48 quarterbacks. The only quarterback that was worse was Bailey Zappi. I thought they were going to say Zach Wilson. You can't tell me the $40 million man in the first year he got paid was one of the worst in the league. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. You can't lie to me and tell me that the Giants believe in Daniel Jones. You can't lie to me and tell me that they expect Daniel Jones. Even like, it's funny. I know in his little interview he had recently, and they asked him about his timeline to return, he said, you know, the plan is to be ready by training camp. I've been telling you guys since the end of the NFL season. I've been telling you since November when he got hurt. I believe it was November. I did the math on him and Kyler Murray. Even if he heals up at a, you know, 80% faster rate than Kyler Murray, he's not going to be ready for August. So I understand potentially drafting a quarterback, but J.J. McCarthy is not that guy. You're not that guy, buddy. He's not that guy. He's not that guy to take at 6 overall. He's also not the guy to trade up at 4 overall. You need a surefire thing that can help you this year, this season. You don't have a number one wide receiver. It's not Wandale Robinson. It's not Jalin Hyatt. You don't have one of those guys. One of those guys is going to be available, though. Whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Romo Odunze, one of those guys you can get, and you don't have to worry about that. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Justin and Dobbs Ferry on the Fan before we break.
Hey, what's going on, man? Being a Giant fan, I can't go from a Duke quarterback at number 6 to a North Carolina quarterback between 4 and 6.
Drake May. I don't think they're going to get Drake May either. And they should.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if they try to move up or they try to do something, or even J.J. McCarthy, I mean, this is brutal. I said, go get a receiver, see what you could do with the quarterback. I mean, Drew Lock had more touchdown passes last year than Daniel Jones, so it's, I don't know what they're going to do, but if that offensive line is there and you get a playmaker like that, hopefully you'll be able to move the ball down the field, you know, with all the new guys there, too. So we'll see. But I can't draft a quarterback.
I'm right there with you, Justin. Thanks for the call. Drake May isn't it? Okay, so almost everybody knows Caleb Williams is going to join the Chicago Bears, and good for him. After all of the talk from last year about him crying to his mom, Embiid just tied the game with a 3. This is getting good. I'm not taking that tweet down either. @Keith_McPherson, I already proclaimed Philly dead. I don't like anything about Philly. Their fans are terrible. Every time I've been down there, their fans are a joke. Like, they're out of their way. They go out of their way to be obnoxious. They're over the top. Just, you know, you've been down there. If you know, you know. So I don't wish them any success. And I hope that they lose in this play-in game down there in Philly. They swept my Nets last year. Embiid kicked Nick Claxton in the family jewels. I forget it. Back to the draft. I just think I understand that drafting. We talked about this at the end of last season. I know I was on, and then C-Mac was on, and we were saying a lot of the same things. We thought they were tanking to get a quarterback. They didn't. Instead, their third-string quarterback, Tommy DeVito, ripped off 3 wins against teams that are drafting ahead of you now, and it's just like that was your opportunity to potentially get a Caleb Williams, who was in a great spot after all the crying and the nail painting and the diva stuff, and they can't believe this guy lives in a penthouse apartment in L.A. and Reggie Bush got his Heisman taken away. That guy is going to a great situation in Chicago. Go look at the Chicago Bears roster and the moves that Ryan Poles and those guys have made over the years. And then the Washington Commanders right now, they just did this thing where they're hosting a bunch of potential draft picks, and Jaden Daniels, everyone's saying, is going to be their pick. That's the guy that they want. Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. So the two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks that are available, they are going 1 and 2. They are saying Drake May, I don't know, he's got the look of a New England quarterback, right? They're going to draft Drake May. Even though a lot of people are saying Drake May's film isn't that great, he wasn't accurate, he played at UNC. When you look at UNC and Mitchell Trubisky and, I don't know, T.J. Yates, I don't even know who else came out of there at quarterback, not really great, but we'll see what happens with them. Four, J.J. McCarthy has skyrocketed to number 4 from, I guess, Michigan winning the national championship, J.J. McCarthy having a great pro day, and Jim Harbaugh saying he's the best player in the draft. I don't think the Giants are dumb enough to fall for that. I think Shane and Daboll know what they're looking at. I think Daboll wants to have his own guy because, in theory, that extends their leash, right? And their leash meaning like how much time they have as GM head coach of the Giants with Bill Belichick lurking somewhere. But I don't think that they make the mistake, because the mistake gets you fired too. It didn't get the Jets guys fired with Zach Wilson. But I think if you make this mistake here, coming off of taking Daniel Jones at 6, David Gettleman, I think you need to have a surefire guy. And LSU is a wide receiver factory. You used to have a wide receiver out of LSU by the name of Odell Beckham Jr. And I think Malik Nabers can be a freakish type of wide receiver, break games open. He's like that too, if you saw his pro day. If he's there, take him. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at 4 and you're able to trade up with the Cardinals, who the Cardinals have no wide receivers, they should stay there and take Marvin Harrison Jr. Then finesse them for that 4 pick, make them think you're taking J.J. McCarthy and take Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's take another call on the Giants before we break and we go get Johnny Laz. Johnny Lazarus, he's an NHL analyst for VSiN, and we're going to talk a little puck. You got to sprinkle in a little hockey. Why not? Tis the season. Rocco in Saratoga, back on the Fan. Go, Rock.
Hey, how you doing, Keith? How good. You doing, buddy?
Good.
Good? You're not sick, are you?
I'm not. Just had a little bit of cough, a little bit run down, not sleeping enough.
Had to
put the boys' birthday
us,
together
dude.
Over the weekend. We had the first birthday for my son, so it's a lot of planning, preparing. I'm carrying gifts and boxes and decorations, balloons.
Got you working like you should, Keith.
Yeah,
like
I do work for my son.
Little big man.
All day, every day. I work for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Zoo got me pumped there. I was talking to him before coming on. He got me pumped about the draft here.
Yep.
I was saying, hey, nice Yankee comeback win today, right?
Needed
just
it.
Came through. Nice. We needed that one. I don't want to be swept. Right by Toronto.
Not swept. Still in first place. Still the most wins in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, right. Better than the Dodgers, right?
Better than the Dodgers.
Yeah. We'll take that. Take Shohei. Take Matamoros. Take it all with
Take Mama Yo-Yo. Shohei Ohtani obviously knew $16 million was missing from his account.
Yeah, don't get right. Well, are we stupid?
Yeah, now Ohtani was slumping in the beginning of the year. Now that his boy Ipe is surrendering and getting charged and they covered it up, now Ohtani's killing
it
again.
He's going to get a couple of million when he gets out from Ohtani. That's sure. the deal. Come on, we're not stupid. Do you want to say, you imagine if Ohtani was banned from baseball?
It was never a possibility. It was never happening. There was too many people. No, there was. They were never suspending Ohtani. It would never go in that way.
But Pete Rose, all these years,
yeah, that's
the
different.
Best hitter in the history of baseball, is still out there for what? Come on. Bring him into the hall.
Yeah, you heard Pete Rose. He said if he had an interpreter, he would have got away with it too. Thanks for the call, Rock. Okay, we got a break because I have a guest waiting. Johnny Lazarus, we're going to talk puck. Nobody talks puck? No, we've been talking a lot of hockey on the fan, especially with the Rangers and the Isles and what's to come. I am a new hockey fan. I've been following the NHL consistently now for 3 years. I'm a Devils fan, and I'm just going to ask some questions for someone out there that might not be that into hockey or might want to know a little bit more about hockey as we get into what they say is the best hockey of the year, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Keith McPherson talking the sports, taking calls, and interviewing guests. Coming up right now, my guy Johnny Lazarus, a host analyst covering the NHL, and you know we're going to talk about your Rangers and the Islanders right now. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm fired up to be here. It's fun time in New York, and this weekend's going to be sick, huh?
Yeah. How old are you, John? Do you remember 30 years ago that everybody keeps talking about?
I'm 28, so I wasn't even a thought in 94.
It's okay. Zoo don't remember either. I faintly remember. I know I was a bandwagon. Like I have a picture of myself with a Mark Messier shirt. I think I'm like 5 in the picture. I'll resurface that if the Rangers do actually win the cup. But that's all about, right? Like that's all I keep hearing from our hosts, reading online. C-Mac, who comes up after me, says we want the cup. The Rangers got to win it all, right?
There's so many things that are lining up to 30 years ago, which is crazy. Like, you know, I mean, not to bring it up, but like, this O.J. Simpson storyline happened 30 years ago with the White Bronco and the Knicks, and the Rangers are, you know, the Knicks are the 2, the Rangers are the 1. Like, it's just all these crazy things that are happening.
The solar eclipse.
Yeah, it's wild, right? Like, you know, I'm not one to say history repeats itself, but it's hard to not get excited right now.
I'm one to say that the universe never unconnects, and there are things that are parallels that might be pointing to where we're heading.
Yeah, and I'm all for it.
So the other question is about the Islanders, right? We'll go back and forth, Isles, Rangers.
Yeah.
I mean, the Islanders have a repeat of their matchup from last year. It's not going to be the same result as last year, you don't think, right? I mean, the Hurricanes are who they are. I'm a Devils fan, so I watched that whole series last year when, you know, the Devils got smacked by the Hurricanes. What are you expecting out of the Islanders? I mean, they weren't even supposed to be here.
Well, so this one's interesting to me because both teams got better. The Hurricanes got better this year. The Islanders brought in a new coach. They got better. Bo Horvat and Matt Barzal have been unbelievable for that group. And Semyon Varlamov has really taken over that net. I mean, you're looking at the Islanders' recent stretch of games. They've gotten like 8-1-1 in their last 10. If you talk to them on March 22nd, the playoffs weren't even a thought. So you got to give credit where credit's due to the Islanders. They never counted themselves out. And there's something to be said about going into the playoffs feeling good about your game. And right now, as we're talking, I believe the score is 4-3. Yeah, it's still 4-3. They're up on Pittsburgh right now in a meaningless game, but it still feels good to win that game and go into the playoffs feeling as hot as they are. And even if they're not playing perfect right now, they're finding ways to win. That's what good teams do. But Carolina, I mean, this team has been knocking on the door now for like 5 years, it feels like. And if this isn't Carolina's year, they got a lot of questions to ask themselves. And you talk about the Rangers, the Islanders, and now we make sure the Hurricanes. Since the All-Star break, the Hurricanes and Rangers have really been neck and neck in the standings. They've been the two best teams in the NHL consistently. And that 1-1 game that the Rangers beat them in, I forget the exact date of it. I think it was in February, but the Rangers played a phenomenal game defensively. And that's the game that makes the difference in the standings right now. It could have been Rangers-Islanders had Carolina Hurricanes come away with that win. But it's been remarkable just how well these teams are playing right now.
Yeah, there was a thought that we could get Islanders, Rangers, that local feel in the first round. Obviously, these guys just played each other not too long ago in the Garden and in UBS. Are you a Matt Rempe guy? You a big Matt Rempe guy?
Big Matt Rempe guy. And you know why I'm dying for a Ranger-Islander playoff series? Because the Devil fans would be freaking out.
Yeah, going back to the stadium series, which I absolutely loved. Like, I'm new in the hockey world, and we'll talk about that in a second because I got some questions to ask you, but I'm a Jersey guy. So watching that whole stadium series and how they showed Jersey love and how they just had the aerial view of the stadium and how cold it was, but there was so many people trying to get into the stadium. I just think it was a great national look at how hockey and hockey fandom, how big it is in this area. But that was our introduction to Matt Rempe. And for me, not hearing about the guy, just hearing his story, seeing his first skate and it getting to be in MetLife Stadium. And then you hear that it's 6 years, I believe, from, you know, his dad passing and all this other stuff. I was really rooting for the guy. But he turned into a villain quickly, especially against my Devils. And I obviously know, I mean, the guy's, what, 6'8"? He's going to be a big factor for the Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, you need a bruiser, an enforcer. You need a bully like that.
That's been a hot topic because a lot of Rangers fans are questioning how impactful he's going to be. Because Rempe has, you know, there's two sides of this argument where Rempe has become somewhat of a distraction and he's only out there to fight and have that physical presence. Yeah. But there's also people who think that he can have an impact on the game. And he does. You know, he doesn't get a ton of ice time. He probably plays like 7 to 10 minutes a night. But, you know, those minutes that he gets are useful minutes where, that you know, you feel the energy in the building. Anyone who's been in Madison Square Garden, when 73 steps on the ice, there's a round of applause going. It's like the craziest thing I've ever seen. And he's just a kid, really, you know, and he's kind of embraced this whole thing. He genuinely just loves it. He's so authentic. When you talk to him in the locker room, it's, you know, it's so refreshing just to have someone in the locker room who's so just unapologetically themselves. And, you know, for whatever reason, since he's stepped into this lineup, I know he's only played in 17 games, but I'll die on this hill that he's really affected just the overall identity and swagger of this team. And there are a lot of people who disagree with me, but, you know, I'll stand by it.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at these teams, the Islanders and the Rangers and the brief history, like, I just feel like there's a lot of juice on both sides. And I've watched more hockey in the last couple seasons. And what I say is, like, you know, I'm a football player. I used to play football in college, and I thought football was a tough guy sport. No, it's not. Hockey is the real tough guy sport. I mean, you got to be tough to play football, yeah. But, like, they're not letting you actually, like, knuckle up, square up. They're not letting you, like, some of the shots that these guys take in hockey, you don't get open shots like that on guys in football. And they're quick with the flags now, especially at the NFL level. You can't touch guys. Like, they're, like, roughing the passer. Some of these penalties, it has turned into powder puff. So watching the NHL, I'm like, okay, I can get into this because this is still like a modern-day gladiator sport.
I'll tell you what, Keith, I played college hockey, so we kind of have this like little thing in common. We both played college sports, and you can call hockey tough. I'll still call football insanely tough. Like, hockey, no matter what you want to say, like whether you get hit in the face with a puck or whatever, or you take a big hit, I think to be insanely fearless, a punt returner, That's got to be the scariest position.
I've returned a bunch of punts.
It's, oh, my God.
You can't be afraid. That. First off, you got to catch the ball. Out of everything, secure the ball, catch the ball, and then make a move. Somebody's flying down. One of those gunners are flying down to rip your head off.
Yeah, I don't like the general concept of 11 guys coming to kill me.
Yeah, well, most of the time you're not returning punts unless you got some speed or some shiftiness or something to get away. But see, you know, there's both sides of it. I think football players admire hockey players. Hockey players probably admire football players. But what would you say to somebody like myself who just got into it? And that's one thing I said. I'm like, there are no blue tents. There's no timeout for these guys getting hurt. Hockey players, they just skate over and put their leg over the wall and they're out. What would you say to someone that wants to get into hockey? What would you say to someone that doesn't watch hockey to try and sell them on, you know, watching this upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs?
I mean, I think the entertainment of the game has come such a long way over the past few years. I mean, you watch it on TNT, ESPN now, and there's so many just, you know, world-class players. With Wayne Gretzky's on TV, Mark Messier. I mean, two guys that have, you know, been on the Mount Rushmore of the sport talking about it, which is so cool. And then, you know, you look at this season in general, we're talking about two guys tonight. Nikita Kucherov, the second guy to get 100 assists this season. Connor McDavid also 100 assists. This really is the golden era of hockey. I mean, there is so much skill and so much talent. And then the entertainment factor, too, of, you know, having these podcasts and everything where players kind of appear and show a little bit more personality, which wasn't really a thing 10, 20 years ago. Players were a little bit more afraid to be themselves. But now in this new era, you know, it's encouraged for younger guys to come in the room and show personality. When you hear stories about, you know, rookies and 20-year-olds in the 1980s that would come in and wouldn't really say a word in the locker room until like 3 years into pro. Mm-hmm. But times have changed. And listen, if you love contact sports, I think fighting and hockey, I don't have a stat in front of me, but it feels like there's been twice as many fights this year as there has been in the last 5 years. I think the hatred in hockey is back. The genuine passion in hockey is back. And these Stanley Cup playoffs that we have starting on Saturday is just going to be, you know, full throttle and so exciting until the very end. I mean, there are so many rivalries right now that are lined up to play each other. In the Eastern Conference, you have the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs, two teams that have gone head-to-head 20 times in the past decade. Toronto looking to exercise some demons. Then you have the Battle of Florida. Mm-hmm. The Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning have become one of the best rivalries in all of the NHL. So many different storylines, so many individual players to follow. And, you know, if you're in New York City, I mean, right now it looks like the Rangers are the team that can bring home a championship for the first time since the Yankees in 09, right? I think the city's starving for a championship. So it looks like the Blue Shirts could be the ones to do it.
Yeah, the Giants in 2011, but their jersey.
Oh, that's right. You know, my bad. No disrespect.
Nah, all good. I thought that was funny. What would you say to the Rangers fans listening about what's different with this team? Obviously, Peter Laviolette, a couple different pieces. But, I mean, the Rangers, the last couple years, I know 2 years ago, you just mentioned Tampa, and I've been down to Tampa, obviously, with the Yankees. It's kind of crazy when you go down to Tampa to see how many people have Lightning flags and stickers on their car. And even where their arena is, I recently drove by there. Like, they have a whole hockey culture that exists down there, and obviously because they've won. But, you know, 2 years ago, I thought that they had Tampa beat. Last year, I thought they had my Devils beat. What changes this year with this team that they actually go up in a series or fight through a series and seal the deal and get to the cup and win it this year? Like, what's the main thing that you see with the Rangers that's different about 2024?
Well, to me, this is the first time that I can remember in probably a decade where a Rangers team has had a chip on their shoulder. You know, that 2022 run was pretty magical, but they were somewhat of the underdog the entire time. And I know they played against backup goalies in the first two rounds, you know, going up against Louis Domingue in Pittsburgh and a mixture of goalies, Antti Raanta and Peter Kachetkov in Carolina. But that year, the storyline was Igor Shesterkin has stolen the Rangers games. It wasn't really about the team. I mean, Mika Zibanejad got hot. Artemi Panarin was a little inconsistent in that playoff run. Chris Kreider did have 52 goals. But the storyline was that the Rangers are just this goalie. This goalie is their whole team. Without the goalie, who are the Rangers? Then last year, you know, there's a lot of hype because of that previous run in 21-22 that the Rangers are now all of a sudden the team to beat. And that's kind of what happened to the Devils this year. You know, when you have a magical season, the hype is just spread around you and it can creep in. So last year, I think that happened to the Rangers. They felt pressured at the deadline. They bring in the big names like Patrick Kane and Vladimir Tarasenko, and there were just too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, too many big names. It just didn't have time to click. And I think this year, knowing that, you know, this window is now closer to shutting than it is to opening, they probably have 2-3 years max left in this window with this core as the guys are aging. You know, they came back and they're like, hey, we got to prove that last year was, you know, not who we are, not this identity. And that's why they brought in a guy like Peter Laviolette, who was brought in to win a Stanley Cup. He's not brought in to develop young guys or you know, build for a future. He's here to set a standard and create a foundation and create a culture, and that's exactly what he's done. On day one of training camp, Vincent Trocheck told me it was a no BS mentality, and that's what it's been all year long, and he's been a guy who stepped up as well. I mean, this has been a next man up mentality, and, you know, no matter what, there have been games where the Rangers did not look good, but it was never because of a lack of effort. They always try. There were some nights they were tired, and that's human nature to be tired every now and then, but the effort was always there, and you never felt like they were out of a game no matter what the score was.
We're on the phone with Johnny Lazarus, who's a host and analyst for the NHL Daily Faceoff, Bleacher Report, Open Ice, and VSiN Live. And he's a former college player. Where'd you play?
I played my freshman and sophomore year at UMass Amherst, and then my junior and senior year at Mercyhurst University.
Okay, yeah, you're a transfer guy like me, too. I went to James Madison University my first 2 years, and then I transferred to Monmouth University, and that's where I'm from. So I essentially left Virginia and came back home to Jersey.
Yeah, JMU, I heard, is a pretty hidden gem of a fun school.
I always used to say the best-kept secret is not a secret anymore. It's the best-kept secret, like, for everything. Parties, athletics, school, the girls there, that place is ridiculous. I can only imagine what it's like now. It was crazy when I was there, so I'm like 15 years ago. I don't even know how old I am. Was it 15? Anyway, is the President's Cup curse a thing? I mean, I know it was last year with the Boston Bruins, but are you feeling like that's something that's going to be in the way of the Rangers' run this year?
I don't think so. I mean, last year was a little bit different. Boston, you know, everyone loves to say Boston didn't face adversity all year. I do kind of disagree. Like, the start of their season, no one really had high expectations because I think they were without Charlie McAvoy and Brad Marchand, I believe, last year. The years kind of blend together a little bit, but no one really expected Boston to be as good as they were last year. And then, you know, from the start to the finish, they ran away with that thing. So the Rangers at least battled to the very last game of the season. They played the game 82 to make it worth something. And I think that says a lot about just being engaged the entire way. You know, they had two pretty bad games against the Flyers and against the Islanders this past 2 weeks, but they were able to channel it back in and beat the Islanders again and then, you know, end the season on a high note against the Ottawa Senators. And I think that's what it's all about. It's kind of, you know, getting knocked down but getting right back up, and the Rangers have been able to do that. That's why this President's Trophy doesn't feel like years past where there was a clear-cut number one in the NHL. Like, sure, while the Rangers are the number one team in the NHL, there's five other teams that could have won it. So, you know, I think it's a little bit different this year. Again, that's my bias, though, and, you know, hopefully my reverse jinx of whatever this curse might be. But I don't really buy it, so.
All right, last thing for you. Are we about to see vintage Ovechkin, or are the Rangers sending him into retirement? Is he cooked? Is he washed? Or is he going to be able to battle with the Capitals?
I have a really hard time saying Ovechkin's cooked, but this might be crazy to say. I don't really fear him. I don't. I don't think he's quick enough to keep up. And, you know, Pierre Laviolette coached this team. This is, you got to remember, the Rangers head coach coached the Washington Capitals for the past few years. He knows this team inside and out. If there's one coach that I'm going to battle with against the Washington Capitals right now, it's Pierre Laviolette. So I actually might go on a limb and say Ovechkin doesn't even score a goal in this series. I don't want to call that a hot take or whatnot.
No, nah, but if you're right, on me. Everybody can hear you.
They backfire on me always. And now, you know, watch Ovechkin score a hat trick in game one. But I'm just confident in Laviolette and how well he knows the opponent. I think that has a big factor in this series as well.
Well, the Garden's going to be a tough place to play. I haven't seen a game there. I've been told you got to go see the Rangers. You got to go see a Rangers game. Home ice advantage in the playoffs, I think, is a thing as well.
Oh, yeah. You got to get there.
Yeah, well, somebody will have to bless me. I don't have the money to pay $700 to sit up on the top of the Garden on the ceiling.
You got to request a credential.
Oh, yeah. I could finesse my way in with a credential.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Nah, they'll know. They're like, this guy's not a Rangers fan. He's a Devils fan. He barely watches hockey. Well, this is the guy from WFAN. He talks a little bit of hockey now.
I mean, if you need a good word, I'm happy to put one in for you.
No, I would love to go see the Garden for the rain. Like, if I'm going to go to a game, I'd rather see a playoff game with everybody turned up. I'll just be in there neutral, just observing. But it's time. Oh, yeah. It is literally time, as this weekend the NHL Stanley Cup playoff starts. That's Johnny Lazarus. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That was fun.
877-337-6666. I guess I spoke too soon. 101.98. Philadelphia. Clap your hands, everybody, for Philadelphia. I hate their win song. It's just so corny. It's like, very, like, I don't know, old and just, like, not cool at all. I don't know why they play it. They should have come up with something else. But it looks like the Sixers are going to survive. And now we're going to start talking Knicks on the Fan. We're on the second half of my show. It's a five-hour show, and my plans have gone as planned. I think we talked a little bit more NFL draft than I had expected. But now we're going to talk about the Knicks. If you just watched this game with how they struggled, and let me see, like, I hate watching Embiid play. Even me and Zoo back and forth quietly are talking about the game and the foul calls and some of the calls that he gets. I hate watching him play because he's a foul merchant. You know what I'm saying? And it's like he gets the calls. But if you're a Knicks fan, and like I've been saying to Knicks fans all week, do you fear them? Do you fear the 76ers? I wouldn't. They're struggling at home to beat the Miami Heat. They're a 7 seed, obviously, because they didn't have Embiid most of the season, but I wouldn't fear them. You figure out how to shut down Embiid, and Embiid doesn't get all the calls that he's looking for, Man, this series between the Sixers and the Knicks, it ain't going to be a seven-game series.
Nick Batum.
That's who we were talking about as well. Like, how many minutes is Nick Batum?
Bro, they just put his face and his 20 points up there. I'm like, yo, listen. If we got OG or whoever is guarding Nick Batum giving up 20 points.
Nah, bet the Knicks. And how many times do I have to tell y'all, those Villanova kids, this is home away from home for them. This is their first home, right? They played their home games at Villanova on this floor, in that building. They're comfortable there. They can't wait to go right back there. The Sixers are cooked. They survive the play-in game. And you know what your prize is for surviving the play-in game? You got to face the Knicks. You got to face the 2-seed. And I don't think that this is going to be – I don't think there's anything to fear. I don't think that this is going to be a matchup that like, oh, well, Embiid's going to dominate. No, Embiid is a foul merchant. And I think they got enough for Embiid with Iheart, with Mitch, with some help. It's going to be is Tyrese Maxey going to carry them? No. Definitely not Nick Batum, Tsunami Poppy, Kelly Oubre, Kyle Lowry, Tobias Harris. Nah, bro.
Nah, bro, the Kelly Oubre.
Tsunami Poppy, we got to worry about. You got to worry about him going at the refs. Yeah, Nick Batum. Nick Batum plays 28 minutes for them in this game. Embiid only had 23. How many fouls? How many fouls did he get? He went to the free throw line, what, five times? Whatever. They're going to survive. I got that hate in my heart for Philadelphia, bro. Can't hide it. That first half, when I saw them go down, I'm thinking it's over. So I know people are probably going to cook me on Twitter, but that's fine. I'm open to get cooked on Twitter. You're just running my engagement up. Let me see. I think I was talking to Ross in Bergen County. I'm like, should I delete this tweet? No, you don't delete no tweets. I will just wait until the Knicks go up 2-0 in the series, and then I'll be like, clap your hands, everybody, for Philadelphia. Heat culture. Come on, Heat. I thought they had it. I thought Embiid was going to go cry in the car. He survives. So we get the Philly versus New York Turnpike series. Great. And look, Spike Eskin just went back to Philadelphia. So you can do the cross. We can have Spike call in. Spike can have some of us call in down there. We can go back and forth with the sister station, WIP versus WFAN. I ain't no Knicks fan, no. I stay out of it for the most part. I should have stayed out of it because, look, maybe I helped the Sixers. Maybe they read my tweets during halftime as bulletin board material, and they said, you know what? That Keith McPherson up there from the fan, he said, we're cooked. He said Embiid is going to cry in the car. We got to come back in the second half. I mean, I tip my cap to Nick Nurse. His first year with them. Doc Rivers loses that game. All right, we do have the break. I got to actually get back to, like, taking your calls and hosting the show. Hopefully you're having as much fun as I'm having. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan, KM to AM. We'll be back after this quick timeout. Keith McPherson on The Fan, hosting on The Fan. Man, I will say this again. And the first thing I did was go to my handy-dandy FanDuel app and try and see if they had the odds. They don't have the odds yet. But I just, the way the Sixers looked, they better figure something out fast. I don't think that's a Sixers team that can rock with the Knicks. I just don't think, if Joel Embiid is scoring 20 points and looking for fouls, they're going to outscore them. If Nick Batum, like we were just talking about, Nick Batum is the guy. Nah, I'm looking at the Knicks like, nothing to fear. Knicks fans, don't worry about that. All the talk this week about you don't want the Sixers. Okay, here are the odds. New York Knicks are minus 116. 76ers are minus 112. I don't think it's that close. Let's see if you can go to you can bet series total games. Hey, I might have to throw a couple of dollars on this. I don't know. My leans are the defense of the Knicks, how they can defend. OG Anunoby will neutralize whoever is. Obviously, you're not putting him on Embiid. But if Embiid isn't going out there dropping 40-50, like you, Brunson, who on, is Tyrese Maxey locking up Brunson? Who on their team is stopping Jalen Brunson from having his way on his floor? That's his floor still. They're national champions, Villanova. They played a lot of tough games there. And the Knicks fans, 90-minute car ride from New York, can go take over that building. And they did it already this year. Like, I think you lean Knicks. This is a special season for the Knicks. Jalen Brunson's good for 35-40. You got Dante DiVincenzo, Villanova kid, comfortable. Josh Hart going to be comfortable. When I look at the supporting cast around the superstar of Joel Embiid versus the supporting cast of the superstar around Jalen Brunson, I can't talk because I'm trying not to cough. I think the Knicks have a better supporting cast. I think the Knicks can play better defense to stop them and outscore them. I'm going to say Knicks in five. That's where I'm at. At most, Knicks in six, but I think I'm going to bet Knicks in five. I just think they're gonna be overmatched, the Sixers. And the Sixers, yeah, they've had Embiid back for the last 8-9 games or whatever, but they're going to be battle-tested. They're going to have to come to the Garden. There's different air in there. It's a different beast in there. And they are not going to be as comfortable in the Garden as the Knicks are going to be in Wells Fargo Center. 877-337-6666. We were talking baseball. We were talking about Judge coming through, the Yankees, Juan Soto, Oswaldo Cabrera, Gleyber Torres. Nah, say Volpe before you say Gleyber Torres. Alex Verdugo, say Alex Verdugo before you say Anthony Volpe. You know, a thought I had, and I was talking to some people on Twitter, because I still think that moving Volpe to the leadoff spot was premature, especially when the reason that you put out there, Aaron Boone and the Yankees, was to get Gleyber Torres going, and Gleyber Torres has not gotten going. We don't do things for Gleyber Torres. I'm tired of the coddling of Gleyber Torres. Like, I think he's not for long here. Oh, yeah, Gleyber Torres, he's a shortstop of the future. What? Yeah, we're not going to pick up the option for Didi Gregorius because Gleyber Torres can play short. No, he can't. How did that go? And he can barely play second base. And so we're going to move Volpe in his second year, where the kid is looking like an all-star to start. Lower in the second half of the lineup, batting sixth in front of Verdugo. And Verdugo just gets hot over these last few games, where I'm thinking to myself, what if Volpe was right in front of Verdugo? It is what it is. The Yankees have 13 wins there in first place. But it's a chain reaction. The lineup is a chain. You change one thing, the whole lineup changes. And I felt like that was a premature change. It didn't even last four series, move the kid. And you thought you like deked us a little bit by saying, oh yeah, when we look up in 10 years, he'll be the leadoff hitter. We look up the next day, he's the leadoff hitter. And he had a night with 4 Ks 2 nights ago. He's been grounding out. He's been hitting a lot of soft ground balls and trying to beat him out. And I think Volpe will be fine. Don't get me wrong. But I look at the Yankees like, yo, that was a premature decision and you did it to get Gleyber Torres going. He hasn't gotten going. If anything, Volpe hasn't been as effective. But I understand all the fans. Keith Volpe's supposed to be the leadoff hitter. Gleyber Torres is not a leadoff hitter. They decided that Volpe would be in the low half of the lineup and that Gleyber Torres would be the leadoff hitter. And when DJ comes back, you can't change it now. Volpe's there now. You can't change it. If his numbers keep dropping, it is what it is. He's the leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. And he's got to adjust. But I felt like the kid was doing so good in the lower half of the lineup. And you need that bat in the lower half of the lineup now. 877-337-6666. But winning cures all. A win is a win. The Yankees got the win to avoid the sweep. The Mets got the win to complete the sweep. And we're going to keep talking baseball. We're going to talk some basketball. We can talk some puck, of course. And NFL draft. It's wide open. I got 2 hours to go. Literally, don't change the dial or exit the app or go anywhere. It's going to get better because we're going to start bringing in a lot of different calls from fans and keep cooking on the fan till midnight. KM to AM, BRB.